I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah. And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. And I'm Wesley Sykes. And through the other side of the ether is the Zank Yendar to my Forge Fitzwilliam. It's Mr. Nicholas J. Ask Friar Thayin for hire.
I don't know if you ever complimented me so much and insulted yourself so much in the same sentence.
No, if I was thinking about it, if we were to do like a DSG comparison for like who would be like, you would most definitely be the Zank Yendar.
Oh, okay. Is that how you thought about it?
I think so. That. Yeah, absolutely.
And you would you most definitely be the Force Fitzwilliam?
Yeah. It's probably fair to say. Just kind of enjoying chaos and living the fancy life.
I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's all a facade.
Some great performances out of both of those two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Surprisingly great performances. And you know, maybe if you haven't already guessed, we'll be discussing Dungeons & Dragons this week.
Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, that didn't play fully.
Dungeons & Dragons.
There we go. That's it. Honor Among Thieves, starring Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, and the aforementioned Hugh Grant. But before that, Nick, I don't have an intro question. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I will say, though, I'll give the people a little peek behind the curtain. Before the show, Wes and I talked about the Celtics and the nonsense for about 15 minutes. That shows you how bad it is in Boston right now.
Oh, yeah. Bad news. Ever since the sports books opened up in Boston, right there, they set you up with a great regular season only to steal all your money come playoff time. That's great for the script writers and the conspiracy theorists out there. You go run with that.
I got nothing to say on that point. I mean, I'm just gonna sit for no real reason.
Right. Oh yeah. I didn't even mean to implicate you in a potential scheme in there. Yeah. This is all just a comedy podcast, so you can't hold this against. It's all satire, right?
Yes, of course. Always. Yes. Aside from the Celtics. Well, no, the Celtics.
It's been satirical.
Yeah. Of that franchise. Yeah. Oh God. Anyways, I don't. You know what, Wes? My intro question. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, life's going well. The baby's getting to be a little bit more fussier now. That's great. She only likes to be held upright and rocked to go to sleep. And then you got to lay down for 8 minutes, sit down 8 minutes with her, and then slowly kind of hope that she goes off into her bed. Because as soon as you like let go of her, she's like wide-eyed and opened. And it's like, oh, man. So it's this 5-8 rule that we've been reading about. So 5 minutes standing upright, kind of rocking her, 8 minutes sitting down, holding her, and then drop her off and like keep like skin to skin contact for like 20 or 30 seconds while you're like releasing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Okay. That is, I never heard of it. I mean, why would I have heard of something like that?
Yeah, no, I know. Right. Yeah. Not until you're in it. I wouldn't have either.
Speaking of sleep, this is a better intro question. Have you had any nightmares or any scares since watching The Priest Exorcist?
Oh, no, not at all, actually. No. But there's been, a couple times, again, when I'm just sitting with the baby, just watching all this, like, hideous stuff coming at me, you know, and I just have her right there. I'm just kind of walking her, rocking her, and there's all these possession moments going on, or I'm watching Dungeons & Dragons, and families are getting torn apart here, and I'm like just holding on to her a little bit tighter.
Just as long as she doesn't start talking too soon and say something like "Raw priest."
Oh yeah, right. Absolutely. No. Once you know the mind starts really absorbing everything, we'll turn all that stuff off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nothing but Bill Nye the Science Guy, and I don't know, financial investments for kids.
Financial investments for kids. That sounds like a show that's
Mad Money, like Jim Cramer's son, just doing like kid stuff.
I thought you were gonna say something like The Wiggles or Teletubbies or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, is Teletubbies still around?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no clue.
That's free. They're freaky stuff.
That was the stuff that from when like I feel like that was like right after. I feel like it was more my brother's age range. He's a few years younger than me, so I could be wrong though. I don't know what's on. Yeah. Raffy was one of my guys. Did you listen to him?
Oh, Raffy, the artist. Yes. Yeah. I remember some Raffy albums.
Yes. Yeah, that
I
was.
Think I do.
God, I can't. Anyways, I don't want to. We don't need to keep going down this road.
All right. Well, that's, you know, maybe that's not stuff that we did in the past, but let's look ahead. Well, we don't want to look too far ahead. We want to be, the present is a gift, and we want to trend right now.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
I almost had that fully formed in my head. It took me a couple takes, but we'll clean that up there. We have some Marvel Disney Plus updates here. Loki Season 2 will premiere October 6th, Nick. So we finally got a hard date for that. And the little synopsis that we got is Loki is back at the TVA. He's had a very difficult confrontation with Sylvie. And Mobius and Hunter B-15 don't know who he is.
Okay. That sounds cool to me. I mean, like, Loki is a, I was much lower on Loki than everybody else. I still liked it. I still thought it was good. But I'm excited. You know, more Sylvie. She's great. I'm kind of on Mobius.
Oh, Loki, no, Owen Wilson? No, Owen Wilson? Really? See, I think this was, I was kind of piqued by this because of the Stinger and Ant-Man Quantumania, which I just rewatched, and that's still don't really like it, actually, now that it's on Disney Plus. But I was excited. So I was wondering if they were going to be going more with like Kang stuff and kind of following him through time. But now, given all the, you know, off-camera stuff that was going with Jonathan Majors there, I wonder if they're going to be pivoting more to these like B storylines or what would have been B storylines.
Yeah, they're in an interesting spot here because I would have thought the same thing, and I was even more excited for Loki going in because of that. But yeah, they are in an odd spot. There's no question about it. And Loki was the spot where we would expect to see a lot of that. So, and with the writer, like, you know, how you set the date, writers are on strike. You're not going to do reshoots at this point.
That's, so it is, yeah. So it's in the can. What we got is what we got. That's interesting because that also, you know, I would imagine they wouldn't have cleaned everything up in the time that the news dropped to when the writer's strike happened, right? So I don't think that's enough time to do that. So
no way.
Yeah, that's interesting there. Well, another piece of news: Echo, the much anticipated Echo series, will premiere on November 29th with all episodes dropping at once. You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like this because I, you know, as much as I'm like fine with week to week stuff, I don't mind sitting down and binging something. But I also wonder, like, is there a feeling to like control the conversation and make it less like bashing it? Is there a concern about that? Because obviously, a lot of Disney Plus stuff has gotten bashed. Over time. So I'm just wondering if that's like to prevent as much of that.
Yeah. And I feel like I've seen on Twitter some scoopers and people in the know-how in that area kind of saying there was big production issues and a lot of rewrites and reshoots going on before, you know, any of the writer's strike and everything. So, you know, I wonder if that had anything to do with it. But my first thought was, all right, let's kind of hide this. Let's dump it all at once. It's not going to get a whole lot of promotion and marketing. We'll get one big push initially, maybe a push halfway through season whenever they have like a cameo or something, or not halfway through this, but I don't know. One big push of marketing there. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. We're supposed to be getting Daredevil here. And this is the synopsis in case you aren't familiar, but the new series tells the origin story of Maya Lopez, who was introduced in the Hawkeye series, whose ruthless behavior in New York City catches up with her in her hometown. She must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace the meaning of family and community if she ever hopes to move forward.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing where they're going with this because what does her hometown mean? Like, I don't remember where she was from in all this. Because that could be just a different setting, interesting in that own regard. But other than that,
well, a Native American, if it gets reconnect with her Native American roots, maybe that's like a reservation or something like that, you know, her home. Yeah, interesting.
That would be interesting, but at the same time, like, they haven't done it anything like this up until this point. It just seems odd. I mean,
yeah, maybe this is a new thing. You know, I remember they've said at some point, whether it's Bob Iger or whoever's in charge of Marvel, you know, Marvel Disney right now with Kevin Feige, and that they may be pulling back in some of the marketing promotion of the Disney Plus stuff because they've done so much and it's had such a little return that maybe they won't be pouring as much in. And maybe this is just an effort to do that. Hey, it's out here. You know, we're not going to, you know, market every episode, everything all over your Hulu and streaming services and everything. So,
yeah, that was that crossed my mind in all this, too. It was like, well, they're trying to save money after experiencing losses to start the year off, specifically on Disney Plus. So, but this is just like, it's a weird series, I guess, to do that on. Maybe it's not, I don't know, because I would look at it, it's like, okay, let's do that with Loki. And it's like, this is a thing that should be successful on its own. Can we, like, will it be fine if we just drop it all at once and, you know, look similar to season one? But Echo is kind of like, it's in a weird spot, and you're almost like, by doing this, and if you're not going to market it as much, you're almost setting it up to fail. And also, it's coming right after Loki. Maybe that's the thing that they're considering. Like, we have one big thing that we market and market it for a while, and then right after it, we keep people going while they're hungry for Marvel stuff, and then go into Echo. That actually makes
And you get all of it. I like that, Nick. You landed the plane very nicely there on a strong idea. I'm with you. I think that's a strong move.
This is what maybe we do.
Yeah, maybe you worked with Disney on that one. Interesting.
Thanks.
Let's see what else we got here.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Found this at a theater near you. Fast X had its opening weekend this weekend, Nick. It hauled in $267 million worldwide. That's $67.5 million domestic. And it's part one of a three-part finale. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know this. Are you kidding me?
No, yeah, this was like came out, I feel like, just like this past week. I think it was kind of a surprise.
Oh my god. I'm not a Fast and Furious person. I mean, like I've seen some of the movies, but not all of them. Like they're fine. But you know what's funny is I don't know if I've said this to you before, but I feel like I have. When I like space scenes. Like I love like anytime we're seeing like ships and stuff like that in pursuit of one another, even on the ocean, like that can be interesting to me as well. But when we get into car stuff, a lot of times I'm like, okay, and, you know, motorcycles, but not cars. It's kind of like whatever.
Really? Huh? No, yeah. I'm in for it. Now it's getting a 54-86 split on Rotten Tomatoes and a 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb, but I don't really care. This is just like, I'm not a huge Fast and the Furious guy, but what makes me like it more is the outright hate that it gets on in internet culture. And it's kind of the butt of a joke, and I don't think it's that bad. People obviously like these movies. It's just brainless action for the sake of action, which is fine every now and again, especially for a summer blockbuster movie. Yep. It is what it is. Like, I don't need this to make a huge imprint, you know, on my intellect and make me reassess how I view the world, you know?
100%.
Just let the movie be. So I think that the hate for it makes me like it more, although if it was, you know, all things being equal, I'm kind of just indifferent on it. I don't really care.
I think that's kind of where I am at the end of it all. Like, I'm indifferent on it. I'm not going to, like, I'll go, if someone's like, hey, I really want to go see this, you want to go with me? Sure. If it's just like, but I'm never going to be the one. Like, because we had talked about doing an episode on this before, and I would have been like, yeah, absolutely. But when, as things kind of changed and we've maneuvered around a little bit on our schedules, like, it didn't get brought up again, and I wasn't going to be the one to bring it up again. So that's kind of
we're much more of a Dungeons and Dragons type of crowd anyway.
Yes, 100%. By the way, by the way, so this is part one of a three-part finale. Now, this is where I'm like, what the fuck? How long do you think the runtime is? Over, under 2 hours and 15 minutes, Wes. How long do you think
For this one, Fast X?
Yes, over, under 2 hours and 15 minutes.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, 2 hours and 21 minutes. Not by much, but that's ridiculous for a three-part finale, don't you think? For a franchise that had 9 movies ahead of this, not counting even like Tokyo Drift and shit?
They got 9 more hours to tell, you know?
Apparently. Jeez.
They had 9 hours to, you know, if each movie was an hour, hour and a half, you know, they had, boy, that's about 14 hours to tell their story, say conservatively, 14, you know, 15 hours. We're going to need at least half that to finish this story.
I thought it took a long time for us to land the plane on the whole Loki Echo thing. I mean, this is,
nope. They're going to teach us a thing or two about landing planes here.
Apparently.
Speaking of run times, Nicholas.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
This is from the Hollywood Reporter, or just anywhere that is showing trailers at this point. The new Martin Scorsese movie, Killers of the Flower Moon trailer, has been released, starring Leo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Jesse Plemons, Brendan Fraser. It's coming out in theaters in October. Looks great. It's based off a best-selling nonfiction novel, I believe, of the same title, or a similar title that came out in 2017. But the runtime on this, Nick, is 3 hours and 47 minutes long. So The Irishman, I think, was right around that. But the beauty of The Irishman is that it was on Netflix, so you could watch it. And I think it was over like Christmas. So you can watch it at your own leisure in different points. But you're going to be in the theater for this if you go see it.
Look, I'm not the one of the two of us, right? I am not the one that talks about runtime quite as much, right? We agree on that?
Yeah, right. For sure.
But everybody has their limits. And I'll tell you right now, mine is definitely before the 47-minute mark in the third hour of a friggin' movie. Or technically within the fourth hour of the movie. That's insane. Who, like, I get it's Scorsese, but how does this happen? Like, 3 hours, I get. Like, it's egregious at times, but I get it.
And if it's a good movie, tell your story. I'm cool with it. Yeah.
But 3 hours and 47 minutes, that's not okay.
No, it's kind of crazy, and especially when you consider this new scheme or ploy that the movie theaters like to do of giving you a start time, maybe 30, sometimes 40 minutes before the actual movie starts, because you get all the trailers and then you get all their stupid advertisements in there. I can't see these opening credits and these opening trailers and advertisements run on for like almost 30 minutes, Nick.
What? Okay.
The last two times. So the first time, two movies ago that we reviewed, maybe this was Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
I'm sitting in there for so long. And it's like 30 minutes. I'm timed it. And then this time, for our most recent movie that we reviewed, I timed it out 25 minutes and I still had 5 minutes of trailers.
So your trailers started 25 minutes after the supposed start time of the movie.
Dartmouth AMC. Yeah.
I remember Dartmouth starting behind to some extent, but even then, no, I've never experienced anything like that. That's crazy.
You're robbing me of my whole day. So if we're doing that, that's like, and let's say I would stay to like the end credits, right? Let's say we go all the way to the end there.
Yeah.
You're looking at like almost a 6 hour day like in the movie theater.
Dude, that's a work day.
I mean,
needless to say, everybody, like, this seems like an interesting movie. We're not friggin' reviewing this thing. Not a shot in hell.
No, I want to be on the comfort of my own home where I can pause and take a break and then digest it and then come back to it. I love Martin Scorsese and Leo DiCaprio. They make great stuff together, but.
Yeah. Maybe we can do what we've done with these last two movies. Maybe we can wait till it comes out on demand and then we'll do it then. I'd be open to that.
I like that.
It does look good. And honestly, like, Jesse Plemons, if he's in something, I'm interested. He is a very, very good actor and very dynamic. As much as he plays like characters that kind of can be like
stiff,
stiff is a good way to put it, but he can handle different roles still. Mm-hmm. And I really like him as an actor. And obviously Brendan Fraser
he's on the up and
comeback.
Up.
Yep. Making his comeback and everything. So I'm interested. I still haven't seen The Whale, but 3 hours and 47 minutes is just stupid.
I don't think you have to see The Whale. For some reason, Jules rented that movie and just watched it one night when she couldn't sleep. And she's like, I couldn't get through it. It was just so, like, I just didn't care for it. Like, some of the eating scenes are, like, really tough.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
It's gross. It's gross stuff. But, you know, what's not gross is the Comic Book Minute. But we're gonna shift gears real quick.
Ah, a superb choice.
Tell you what, Wes, sometimes it can get pretty friggin' gross in comics. Mm-hmm. And I will say, from AWA Studios, we got the final issue of Black Tape out this week, Black Tape 4. And there's definitely quite a bit of violence in there. I'm trying to think if there's anything gross necessarily. It gets a little weird. But anyways, from Image Comics, we got Vanish issue 7. King Spawn issue 22, but the big title for them this week is Super Massive. You hear me talk about it all the time. If you guys listen to TLDR, you've heard of the Massive Verse. This is their joint crossover story. They've done one, they did one last year. They're doing one again this year where they're bringing in all their characters and having one story told together. So it's like a small crossover event, but not really screwing around too much with the other titles. So it's kind of nice and easy, unlike where the big two. You'll have all these titles crossing over and kind of stopping runs in the middle of stuff for events. They don't necessarily do that here. But I'll tell you what, there's a surprise in the middle of the story that was great all around. It is just a great one-shot, essentially, to help people get introduced to these characters. really well done story. It's 60 pages, good in that regard, but there's a nice surprise in the middle of it all, just as a little extra thing for the story. But then at the end, like you get to the end, you get to like the credits page, and then there's one extra like end credits page, and it's just like, well, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on here? So it is some crazy stuff going on in the Massiverse. Definitely, and it's still early enough that everybody can kind of jump in. You don't necessarily need to read all the titles, but they all are pretty freaking good. And again, if you want to learn more about them, you can listen to some of the Friarside chats over on TLDR. Mm. We got also from Boom Studios, we got Harrower issue 4, the final issue of that series. I will be talking about that on TLDR at some point down the line. We also got the next issue of Nightwing out this week and Green Arrow issue 2, start of a new run over there. First one was solid. You know, hoping that at least the second one is at least at that same level, not necessarily mind blowing, but it's been solid. As for TLDR this week, we are doing What's New. It's probably going to be audio only just because some scheduling stuff's been going on. But anytime we do What's New, that usually means something else is in the hopper. Can't necessarily tell you what it is at this stage because it hasn't been done yet, but make sure you subscribe to the audio channel, just like you do with Change My Mind, and leave the highest rating review that you can possible.
All right, I love that. With a little tease at the end, too, there. That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
I love that. All right, well, let's shift gears one more time. Morphin' time! Over to our main topic, which is...
Dungeons and Dragons!
Honor Amongst Thieves. We're going to do an exit survey here. And Nick, why don't you hit us with the synopsis real quick?
Before I do that, is that Neil Patrick Harris's voice? It kind of sounds like him.
Dungeons and Dragons!
I don't know. This is from their children's show that I would say came out in maybe the early 90s.
Probably not then, but it does. It still sounds like him. It's kind of weird. The synopsis for Dungeons & Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves, a charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a lost relic, but things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people.
All right. This was written and directed by the duo of John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. You may remember them from such movies as Spider-Man Homecoming, such as Date Night, such as Waiting, such as a couple more, so on and so forth. And starring Chris Pine, the second best Chris, according to us, as Edgin, Michelle Rodriguez as Holga, Reggie Jean Page as Cenk. Cenk Yender. Cenk. See, I now I'm in my own head, Nick.
Oh, you know, yeah, you're fine.
I told you how to say it to begin with. Now I'm screwing it up.
We watched the movie, everybody. It's just been, you know,
I swear to God, it did. Justice Smith, maybe the best current of the Smith family.
Hmm.
Maybe that question will come up a little bit later. Justice Smith playing Simon, Sophia Lillis as Doric, Hugh Grant as Forge Fitzwilliam. Chloe Coleman as Kira and Daisy Head as Sophina, aptly named Daisy Head because she was bald in this role.
She's also in what's the show that I love? Shadow and Bone. She's also in that one too, and plays another witch-like character, but definitely different.
Oh, by the way, a little typecast, huh?
Justice Smith. He's related to Will Smith?
I think so. I think that he's in the family. Yeah.
I don't think he is. He's still
the best Smith.
There we go. That's fine. trying to think of whatever. Anyways, as for the box office reception, this hauled in $207 million worldwide, including $92.8 million domestically and $37.2 million in its opening weekend. Received a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, a 91-93 split on Rotten Tomatoes. So the critics and the audience are in lockstep on this one. 4.4 out of 5 on Google reviews, with 92% of Google users liking this movie.
All right, so I may have just put out some fake news there about Justin Smith. However, they do look alike, though, right? I can see, like,
I don't see it.
The Justice Smith, huh. Will Smith, and is it Jaden Smith? Is that his real son, Jaden?
Yeah, I haven't seen a picture of Jaden Smith.
Jaden Justice, I could see them being brothers. I could see that there.
Okay,
that's just me.
What do you think the? Well, I'm not gonna make you guess again. I keep doing this too. The budget for Dungeons and Dragons, at least that first look, $150 million. So I guess I don't.
Let me see here. I would say $225 million.
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't making you guess. It was $150 million.
Oh, it was 150 million. Oh,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
All right. So they, yeah. All right, 300 million, say, for marketing, you know, total there, all in package. They're going to make some money on this.
Yeah. Yeah, they made a little bit, at least. At least they got their money back. But it was, if it's a success, it's like 1.5. Yeah. Anyways, 207 million worldwide. All right. It deserved better than that, I think.
I agree, but this could have maybe some shelf life to it, you know, and maybe overseas too. You know, I don't know what's going on in China. Maybe this is a big hit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it is available for purchase on Prime if you don't subscribe to Paramount Plus.
And I think it's still in some theaters too. I think I saw in like the Providence Place Mall, like some of the bigger theaters, like it's still out there. So yeah,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, you know, maybe check out the theaters that won't have a 30-minute lying start time for you.
This one is not 3 hours and 47 minutes long, so you got that going for you too.
Yes, yes, you do. So score and tweet length review. I'll start here. I'll give this an 87 out of 100. This is solid high fantasy IP adaptation for me. This is just fun here. It's a fun adventure with decent jokes and a refreshingly light take on everything while still holding true to the genre. I think that, you know, I'm not huge on the high fantasy genre, but I think it holds up there.
Yep.
And it was a great group. It was a great group of people. I loved them all. I didn't have a problem with any one of the main group of Voyagers.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think Wes and I are in the same dorm, same building, same floor.
We're splitting rent.
Yes.
We're splitting rent, yeah.
We're splitting rent? Yeah, I guess we can put it.
I think so.
It depends on how far we want to go this thing. Because like, if it's like eight, if we were on the same grade, like what does that mean? Are we in the same bedroom or bunk beds? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I give this an 89 out of 100 is all I'm trying to say here. Big win for IP adaptations. I agree with Wes. I think this could be a good thing for them moving forward. Just like Mario was, definitely a must see if you're into high fantasy. Really good action, quality writing, and at least one character in there for everyone to get behind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would think we would be like that old couple that sleeps in separate twin beds, but maybe like on the anniversary and maybe like a holiday, we push it together for a night, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Start bumping uglies again. The exit survey question here. Did this movie exceed your expectations or were you surprised by this movie?
Yeah, look, as much as I'm a high fantasy guy, I'm not a Dungeons and Dragons guy and I'm not like Magic the Gathering. I know those are two different things. I know that, but I'm not into the games necessarily. As much as I did love Skyrim as a video game, but I had low expectations going into this just because I know the world is just so massive and I don't know if there's like an actual story in there, how it works. So when it first got announced, I was like, I don't think. And then you were like, well, let's do something on this. I was like, are you sure about that? In my head, I was thinking, but as we saw more like in previews and stuff like that, I was like, this looks pretty good.
Fun,
and still better than I expected it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm not a Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons type of guy. I think my brother may have played a little D&D, but he's 7 years my senior. So there may have been some stuff flying around the house, like an old board game and stuff, but not into any of that. But I think I love the idea of it. I love the idea of the story around it. Like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't get into playing the game, but the idea of getting lost in a role player dice game is very cool to me. Like, I would love to read like the stories of it. So I think from that aspect, like I was like interested in the idea of it, but too much of a pussy to actually pursue playing it out of fear that I might be a loser. So I'm just going to admire it from afar.
Yeah. That's just not like board, like games like this are not my thing. Like if I'm going to play games, it's going to be video games. Like I like cards. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love cards, but it's just not, I like them for collecting more so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, again, I had no real backstory. So that also helps with the low expectation. I don't know if they've really screwed up the lore or gotten anything super wrong or anything like that. So just kind of took it for what it was and it was great. I enjoyed it. And if this, I would go see a sequel of this. You know, I don't know if how you build upon it to make it, you know, hopefully it doesn't get too broken down and jokey like Thor 4 was or something like that, you know, where you kind of get like too much of a good thing.
Yeah, I still like Thor Love and Thunder, but they definitely took some massive swings on that one. This was like this is comfortable. Like this, that's why, like, we give this, like, I would not give this an A. Like, I'm very comfortable like, giving it an 89. I think it can be anywhere from, like, for people, like, an 82 to an 89. Like, to me, that makes sense in that range.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
It's too much. But yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're a D&D person, maybe, sure, yeah, sure. Give it away.
That totally changes things 1,000%.
Or maybe you hated it if that was the case. I wouldn't know, and I don't really care. Who was your favorite core character in this, of the main traveling group?
So this is tough. So Zenk is not part of the main traveling group, but I really liked him a lot.
He was awesome. He'll come up later for sure.
But to me, it was between Dorich and Holga. Like, because anytime Holga was in an action scene, I'm just like, fuck, dude, this is amazing. Like, this is some awesome, like I know it's like a you know, one versus a bunch of different characters, but the sequences that they had were flawless, I thought. But at the same time, Dorich is really fucking cool. Like the owl bear and shit, man. Mm-hmm. That was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, and she's got kind of that, what is it, Sweet Tooth? Is that the show that's on Netflix? Yeah. Of like the superhero with like the half deer type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's got that vibe going on with the antlers. I like their whole like will they or won't they thing going on with Simon. So I'm a big fan of Dorch. And again, she's like kind of comes in as a smart ass right away to Edgin and kind of like pointing out that he doesn't really do anything, which I love. I love that he's like the leader, doesn't really do anything at all. Mm-hmm. And Helga was great too. I didn't have a problem with Helga so much. Although just the character herself, I just feel like we've seen that before, particularly out of Michelle Rodriguez. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a very similar type of character that you get out of these high fantasy stories. So nothing bad about it, but I'm not sure if that really like blew me away either. But the person I really loved is Simon. I loved his whole story of being the loser sorcerer who kind of has to gain his self-confidence. Again, nothing that's really new and groundbreaking here as far as like a character trope in a group. But I really enjoyed him. I like Justice Smith just maybe in general. You know, going back to the Jurassic World days, I think he kind of plays that dorky, dweeby kind of, maybe for lack of a better term, beta male pretty well. But he's also like funny and then kind of grows a spine along the way.
Yeah, I mean, like he's in Detective Pikachu too, which I liked him, I think, a little more there than I did in the Jurassic World stuff. But here he was good. Yeah, he wasn't in contention for my favorite, but he was good. There's no doubt, like you said, when you look at the four main characters in that team, like in general, I don't think I had a character that I didn't like in this movie of the main characters.
Yeah, and I would think, you know, Dorch kind of presents that that classic tank that you need in your classic heavy, and Simon's kind of like a jack of all trades. He can do like almost everything. He's probably like the most useful in the group, and the only thing that's really holding him back is himself.
Yep, 100%. Yeah.
What was the most rewatchable scene, Nick? This was a weird question. Before you jump in, I'm going to kind of answer this halfway. Was that like there was no real scene? I was thinking back, like, I think part of what I liked about this movie was that there was not really one scene that jumped out as like a marquee moment for me. I just kind of enjoyed the whole ride.
Yes. Yeah. It was there was a lot of good action in this, and the plot was like basic in a way, but it was kind of felt like it was ever evolving in it to an extent too. It's just like, that makes sense because Ed, like, he's like his plans, he's constantly trying to pivot throughout everything because things constantly go wrong. And so it makes sense. And I would think from a game standpoint, that would make a lot of sense too, especially in a game like Dungeons & Dragons versus Chance and everything like that. Again, not having played, you know, a whole lot of role-playing the board games and stuff like that. But anyways, they did a good job of like making this a simple story, but still kind of moving it around. And that played into what you're talking about, where it's like, there's a lot of cool action, but it's just like, there's not like one thing that's just like jaw-dropping. That said, there were some good moments. I do like anytime Dorich was the owl bear, specifically when she beat the shit out of Sophia.
Oh yeah, that kind of had like the Loki Hulk kind of moment, right? Didn't that 100%. Remind you of that?
Yes, 100%. As soon as you started to say something right there, I'm like, I know where he's going with this. I didn't think about it till right there. Yeah, great call. But she was awesome there. All the magic stuff was very, very cool.
Yes. And the red wizard stuff. Yeah, I like that. And that's kind of like a creepy depiction of, you know, like a dark priestess or dark priest. Like, I thought that was pretty effective. I don't know. The way they had him laid out with the red imagery, it worked for me.
It had the Night Sisters from Star Wars vibes, too. It was very cool. And then my last thing would be Zank destroying the Thay assassins. Oh, my God. It was so cool. I mean, anything Holga was doing from action-wise, too. I didn't write this down. But, again, constantly I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is huge for Michelle Rodriguez, personally, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's the one that you want when you want a badass chick in a movie, right? That can hold their own. And I love right from the beginning when they go right into the prison scene there, right? And they're kind of showing that, and then it's Edgin and Holga. Holaga? What's Holga. Her name? Holga. There we go. And they're in the cell together, and they get that new kind of like ogre cellmate in, and he immediately tries to hit on her, and then she like knocks out his kneecaps. Like, they're facing the other way. You know, he's got inverted legs. Like, he's got like flamingo legs at that point.
Rough.
Like, oh man, this is going to be fun. It's a good way to start things off.
I honestly forgot about that one in the course fall. That was quite the tone setter.
Yeah, yeah, and again, just like you mentioned, there's great action throughout. But a couple of things that I thought would be the rewatchable scenes were the lacking action, kind of more dialogue scenes here. So when they're asking the dead people the five questions using the Deathly Token, love that scene. I thought that was great. And then you even get the stinger at the end where it's like, you only asked me four questions, I'm still here. Ask me the fifth. And then the thing in the beginning where it's like, why are you asking it in the form of a question? Or they're like, is this a question? Does this count as a question? They use them all right away. That's funny to me. That was a good. That was a good little bit.
It was great.
And also the Jonathan gag with Edgin and then later Forge trying to break out of the prison using the eagle.
Yeah. Jonathan.
Is it Jonathan?
Yes, it is. I have subtitles on. That's the only reason I knew that. When I first heard it, I'm like, they said Jonathan, right? And then I saw the subtitles again. It's like, Jonathan. I'm like, huh?
Oh, okay. That my mistake there. Yeah. But no, I thought that was hilarious. And he's like, Jonathan would really understand his point. You're thinking this guy's really going to help him out, and he just has no idea. He just ambushes him. And then to see Forge try to do the same thing later at the end of the movie, and then it's just a brick wall. Very funny. Nice callback. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was. That was very well done. That is a good point. Yes. But yeah, that's a weird freaking name, Jonathan.
Yeah. There are some weird names in here too. So Edgin, Forge, all that stuff, right? But some very cool items used through this. And that's kind of, you know, one of the running themes through this. I'm sure it's the same way in the games. You gotta use different relics and different items, and some are stronger than others, and they cancel each other out in some way. So what was your favorite relic that was used throughout this?
Well, you've jotted down the biggest one, I think, was the Hither Thither staff. I mean, that was really cool.
Yeah. That's so awesome. And then again, like, even talking about rewatchable scenes, when they're breaking into the vault and trying to get into, even before the vault, right, trying to get into the carriage that's going to be dropping off all the gold in there. That was really cool and how they did it. And like, it's getting knocked over and then they're rolling. I don't know. I just very, very well executed. I had a fun time with it.
And look, I know that sometimes you bring these types of items in and they can be they're plot devices, right?
MacGuffins.
It moves the things along, and then it's just like, you know, it could help writers out. But at the same time, you expect to see these kind of things in this world. And they did a really good job of introducing some of this stuff and then like not using it till later. It's like, it's been here this whole time, but no one actually knew what the fuck it was. Specifically, that's the Hither Thither thing. But some of the other things, it's just like, they're not, it made sense every single time. Cause I'm thinking of the Resurrection Stone too, where it's this whole time we're thinking he's going to bring back his wife, or we're in question of like, was he lied to by the con man? Like,
right.
Not what he said it was originally. So that whole bit was those were really interesting. But I also, not a thing that I think had a name, but Holga's axe that she ended up taking from the dude who almost beheaded her, it looked really cool at the start, but by the end, after it had gone through like the blacksmith's forge and everything, that was amazing.
Yeah, that looked really cool. And she's like, oh, that'll do, I'll take that. Almost. Yeah, she's like, all right, I'll go with it. I love the bag of holding that Simon had, because it's like, you know, nice running joke, because Edgin's like, you know, make sure you hold on to this with your life. And Edgin's like, here, take this every time. Just puts it in his bag, which is essentially what Hermione's bag is like in Harry Potter. You just keep everything in there. So that's a great travel companion there. So The Deathly Token, we talked about that a little bit. So I thought that was all really cool stuff. I like the invisibility pendant that the daughter has.
Yeah. Ends
up playing a huge role later, and they kind of show that she was, you know, helping them thieve when before the mother passed away and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was really
good
cool.
stuff there. What will age the best from this movie?
The action is always going to look good. Like, this is very well done. I know we're advancing with technology and everything like that, but this is to me
very
like,
clean.
Always gonna look good. Yes. The group on the whole, you said it, how like everybody's gonna like the four main characters always.
Absolutely.
Like, you'll like
even the villain's kind of likable with Hugh Grant. Like, you kind of, he's kind of funny, but in like a nasty, like slithering type way.
Yeah, yeah, he is. And I also liked, Sophina obviously is a psycho, but she was a very good villain. Like, they all fit their roles. Obviously, Zank was really cool too. I mean, that's pretty much the seven main characters outside of Kira, who's just, you know, the kid, and she's fine for her role. And then the big thing too, I think coming out of this, and I think this is where this is a big win for like IPs that maybe haven't been turned into movies or shows necessarily, but the accessibility of this story. Because again, we're going into this and I'm thinking, Wes and I don't know shit about Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. Like, are we going to like this? I like high fantasy a lot. Wes likes it too. It's like, I don't know. But you can turn huge properties, especially something like this, where it's a game. And yeah, you're going to use stuff that respects the game, but you can kind of just do your own thing and it can still be successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that also kind of goes to the credit of the directors there, John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein. Mm. They're really good. I mean, if you remember Spider-Man Homecoming, I mean, that was great that they were able to combine action, heart, and comedy and this kind of like perfect balance of a way. So I think they can kind of handle those adaptations really well. Same thing with Date Night. I mean, a lot of gets said about there's really no good comedy movies. Date Night is Game Night. I keep saying Date Night. Game Night with Jason Bateman, Jesse Plemons, Rachel McAdams. That's like really one of the funnier movies that have come out in recent years. So I think they have a good idea of the comedy. And then again, making that kind of accessible for all ages there to kind of consume. So I still haven't given
that look. Have you watched that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's a funny movie.
I still haven't given that look. It's available on Hulu. It looks like, okay, maybe Disney Plus is taking that down though. Who knows?
Oh yeah.
They're taking so much off of their stuff.
I'm with you with the likability of the main group. I mean, I think that's the huge lore. I think so often we've talked about, like, when we do reviews and stuff, it's like, I love this person, but I can't stand this person, you know? And it's like this year, it was just camaraderie all the time, which is nice, which is kind of what the game is all about. You know, I would imagine it's just getting with your friends and playing dice and whatever, shooting dice. Yeah, all that stuff.
Something like that.
All the cool relics, we talked about that already. I had Justice Smith down here, but that's when I thought he was related to Will Smith, so maybe we'll strike that. But I thought he did a good job. And then the character, you know, what will age the best if there's ever going to be a sequel? I think that character is going to see a big step up in power.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you were trying to predict the future of which character stock to maybe invest in right now, it would probably be Justin Smith's Simon. Yeah.
And we touched on him a little bit, but Hugh Grant as kind of this cunty, weaselly villain. If there was ever an actor to describe, use that word to describe someone, I think he's like the most pleasant way to be called that. Like, he's a pleasant cunt.
See, we've been talking to Mac too much. That's what's been going on here.
No, you know what it is? That word's into my head because I've been seeing this on Twitter, is that people talk about serving cunt as like a phrase. And maybe if I'm just saying it too much now, we're going to get struck on YouTube. But
maybe.
It's like something that's big within the women community, perhaps the gay community, where like if you're kind of sassy, you know, you got like a little bit of edge to you, you're serving.
That whole conversation rings a bell. Was that in the group chat or was that in, I don't know. I saw that somewhere else.
It's been making the rounds. It got caught up in my algorithm.
and then in the show.
Yeah. Now it's in the show. Now it's in your algorithm at home. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Make sure Alexa doesn't hear it.
But no, I thought Hugh Grant did that great role in The Gentlemen, which is one of my favorite movies of recent years. So he, again, kind of plays that Weasley villain. And I was reading this somewhere that he played a similar type of role as like a likable villain in Paddington 2. So if you're into that, so maybe that's that. Yeah. So he's got a good typecast going.
So The Gentlemen, would you recommend that?
Because highly recommend. Yeah. Love that movie.
I've never heard about that, but never saw it. That's you got quite the cast there too.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Huh. What do you think is going to age? Oh, what I did want to add though, for what will age the best, saving the reincarnation stone and giving it to Holga.
Yeah.
And then at her death, as she dies in the final battle, the daughter is Kira, I think, is so torn up. And then Chris Pine finally realizes that, like, hey, I've been saving this stone to bring back not the mother of my daughter, but my wife. And that really, like, the mother, the woman who was there to take care of her, the mother, quote unquote, was Holga this whole time.
Yeah, that line was really good. Like, that was really important in the course of all of it. And obviously just the way they depicted her, their relationship, like how much they hammered on it. It was
right.
Because in that moment, I'm like, oh, like, you know, I could see in the past, like in other instances where it's like, oh, they use it here and like it's easy to write it off. But it's like, no, he had every intention of using this elsewhere. And now he can't. And for this, because as much as he loves Holga, like he wanted to bring his friggin' wife back, but it's not an option.
Yeah. And I wondered, is it all the way back? You know, and like, yeah, do you get fully... Sure. Fully back at the state.
You could definitely do something something odd with this. You probably could do something odd if he had brought his wife back. You probably could have done something there. But yeah, definitely here.
Interesting. What do you think will age the worst from this movie?
I mean, I had a tough time with this. I think your point you're going to bring up is an interesting one and could work. But for me, I don't think it's going to age
a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. But like the thing that if you wanted to nitpick. The whole thing with like the Red Wizards, like wanting to like take over the world or like eradicate the world of everybody that's not them. Like, obviously that's like a storyline that's been used over and over, but it's not like we're beat over the head with that in the course of things. It's like, it's happening in the background and pushes some things forward. And maybe
don't even really necessarily know it until later on in the movie anyway. Right. Because you don't really know Sophina's real motives until she tells them and double crosses Forge. Right.
Exactly. So it's not that bad, like it's like it's, you know, beaten over the head with it.
Yeah, and I was kind of grasping at straws trying to come up with something here, and the only thing that I really rolled my eyes at, and this was in the very beginning, is when you see Simon using the same hand movements as Doctor Strange to do magic, and the same thing with Sophina. She was kind of doing it too, but she was kind of doing the sling ring, and you're almost are getting like the same, not like the steel wool look, but the insignias that Doctor Strange would make. You're almost getting like the same type of look, CGI look there. So then I was like, I don't know, like that seemed kind of lame.
I'd have to look back at this.
But that's small potatoes at the end of the day.
Is that supposed to be a pun?
Small potatoes.
Like, because she used, would it be a pun? Like,
because she was eating potatoes.
She's all about potatoes, yeah.
Yeah.
Play on words.
I'll take that.
Yeah, so it was not deliberate. Got it, okay. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Who had the best performance by a side character, and why are you Cenk Yendar?
that would be, oh, you know what? This is where, like, the one little thing that they did, I don't know if there are Dungeons & Dragons video games, there has to be, but one little thing that they did with Cenk that was really, really cool, that felt like it was at least for video game fans, was how they had the character, like, walking in a straight line, like, he walks in a really straight line,
is
he gonna walk over the rocks? He looks just like a video game character as he's doing it, but also at the same time, it looks like it's the actual actor doing it. It was so well done. I loved that.
And that was a nice little, like, those little moments where it's, like, little moments of comedy and, like, quips to the kind of looking at like you're in on the joke with the rest of the cast. I thought those worked really well. Sometimes they could be used too much and kind of be like, all right, like now you're just going for yucks, kind of like how I felt with Thor 4. But this was, I thought, was peppered in perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, to me, this is, we have this conversation too often, like side character, define it, whatever. Forge is in it a lot more than Zank is, but also at the same time, he's not one of the main group because of obviously the way the things transpire in the movie. So it's like a tough one. Like Zank's in it for a short bit.
He's neither in the group, nor is he the main villain.
No, in the end, he's not the main villain.
You know, that's where I'm going with that. But I think he's dealing with, he's throwing 95 throughout. He's chewing up the scenery, Hugh Grant, left and right. I think this guy's hysterical. And that like fake over the top cheese just works so well with Hugh Grant. That's like, he's got that down pat. So I loved every moment in him. But, you know, Zank is that kind of the noble warrior who's like, doesn't really want the crown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he plays that role perfectly too. So it's like high honor, very noble, very inspiring, natural born leader. Walks with great posture. Perfectly straight posture the whole time. And he's a badass, but he's not like, I'm going to steal your money. But he's like, I'm only going to do this if it's right.
Right, 100%. So I kind of lean towards Zank in this, but I mean, anybody who wants to go with Forge, is, I can't go against you on that.
Yeah, just as I said, I loved all those things about Zank. I'm going with Forge.
Yeah, is he your favorite character, period?
He might be. That was great. That was a great character.
He was great. All right, Wes. I'm excited to share this one with you, with the people.
Yeah, who lost the movie?
There's only one person who lost this movie, and that is Edgen's wife / Kira's mom, as she dies fairly early in this, obviously because her husband is a thief, and it's like, he didn't just steal treasure. He stole cursed treasure that can be tracked, or I guess not cursed.
And just one piece of treasure.
Yep, one piece, and she bites the bullet because of it. And then she's like, oh, it's like she's going to get to be brought back and all this stuff. You won and blah, blah, blah. And then not only does Edgen decide like, hey, I want to save my friend because she's done so much to me to sacrifice all she's been on my side. No, it's because she's more of a mom to Kira, which is not the mom's fault because the mom died.
Right. It's she doesn't get a chance to come back. The whole movie, they're like, wait till she comes back. She's going to fix all these problems. And they're like, psych. No, we're not doing it. She does take a big, big L here. That's tough. I was wondering, does this make you a loser or a winner of the movie if Edgen just somehow goes through this whole movie without having done, like, without bringing, like, any skills to the table?
He's
just skating by on good looks and charm.
Yeah. He's
a little bit of charisma.
Yeah, he's like, you're impressed by playoff Jimmy Butler? Hold my beer. Like this is like, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, but it's wild.
Because he's not really doing much.
Yeah, just on attitude and good looks.
See, like, I would think he's the opposite of Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's doing it all.
He's getting more by on attitude.
Who's just like a Rajon Rondo.
That's fair.
Not looking to score and just dropping dimes, setting everyone up for success.
Yeah, he's more of a facilitator. That actually makes more sense. I guess I'm more meant in the sense of like Jimmy Butler is obviously he's very talented, but he just when his attitude in like his approach, like when he ups that, when you like incite him, like then it goes.
I see. Level. I gotcha.
But your comparison makes more sense. I gotcha.
Okay, so he can be Jimmy Butler and at the very same time not be Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, so he's Rajon Rondo. You're right. You got it. You won this round.
Who won the movie aside from me just right now?
I mean, I gotta go with Michelle Rodriguez here personally.
She was great.
She was great, and I know you say like, oh, she can be, she's badass, obviously, Fast and Furious and everything. But the action scenes that she had in this movie, and I'm sure you know she had a stunt double and everything, but that shit was flawless, man. Every single bit of it, I was like, just very impressed by it. And her character like was cool. She fit the role and everything like that. Don't get me wrong, but just like I was blown away by the action scene. So I think it's a huge win for her.
Yeah. I mean, she was great. I'm going with my guy Hugh Grant though.
That's fair.
Hugh Grant was awesome. He's the best performance by a side character. He wins the movie. I think he has the performance that makes me come away with this. You know, and like there's great performances, like you said, Michelle Rodriguez, Justice Smith, Chris Pine, just across the board, all good stuff. But it's Hugh Grant for me that I come away when I think about this movie.
Yep. Although you could argue he lost the movie too. Or not Hugh Grant. Yeah. It would have been Forge that lost
the movie. Forge, yeah, of course. Yeah, and very sneaky guy that he would do that. I mean, what a horrible friend.
It's terrible. And
father.
It's father. He is a real piece of shit.
I yes. Mean, he's worthy hair. Of the C word. He's worthy of it.
I thought we moved past this.
But nevertheless, that concludes a fairly short, fairly quick exit survey review here of Dungeons yeah. and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves.
Dungeons and Dragons.
So Nick gave it an 89. I gave it an 87. That's a CMM aggregate score of 88. So go see it. It's available, like Nick said, video on demand, $20 rental, or on Paramount Plus if you have that. Well, so that's also available there, and maybe in a theater near you. I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe could be. Check it out.
Obviously.
Switching gears.
It's morphin time.
Over to the Jesus. Where did I put it, Nick? Where is it?
I don't know where we're going.
Choo choo, bitches.
It was way too much down on the files. I had to scroll down there. So, Nick, this is fun. This is always fun when we are watching something. We're watching the same thing unbeknownst to one another. So We are all both caught up on Love and Death on HBO Max, soon to be just Max, I believe, this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Do you know the logic behind that?
I have no idea. They're going to be splitting up into Discovery Plus and Max, and then one is going to be more related to like women and the other one's gonna be more related to men.
Oh, I remember.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
right?
That's what we talked about. Yeah, that whole thing. I remember that conversation. Okay, anyways, but we're watching
the same.
Yes, we are. Yes, Love and Death is good. So there was a Hulu version of this originally starring Jessica Biel as Candy. I don't know who else is in it. I haven't seen it. Lauren did, so I kind of caught like bits and pieces. This came out like before I moved north. So like that, but I guess they'd been like Lauren like was big into this, so they'd done some this might have been filmed at the same time as the other one, or this might have came out like been filmed before.
Oh, okay.
So it took a while for this to come out, but obviously a very interesting story, very well done. Elizabeth Olsen, it's funny because like we see her in do some similar stuff in WandaVision because of you know how unique that show was. So it's kind of cool to see her in this instance. And again, she's like playing a character who, excuse me, is a little like unhinged at moments.
Unhinged, but also like, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s MILFy housewife.
And very like tries to be, as much as she's unhinged, she tries to be in control at all times. She's great. Jesse Plemons is great. Jessica Jones is in this movie. I forget the name of that actress, but she's
That is, yes. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So no,
I love it. I find her infuriating the whole time, you know, up until this most recent. Yes. Yeah. Candy Montgomery. I mean, they do a great job. Like you said, kudos to everybody. Everybody gets their flowers, but the character's so infuriating. Up until when she's like about to take the stand, right when the lawyer comes out with that big switch, right? Her defense lawyer,
yeah,
the big reveal. And then suddenly you're like, well, she's kind of got a case.
Yeah, she does. I'm very curious to like how this,
did you read ahead at all of like what actually happened? Cause this is based on a true story.
I know it is. I don't know. So please don't tell me like,
I didn't either. So I was just going to say, don't spoil it for me. Cause I'm enjoying it now.
No. By the way, do you know what Marvel show her lawyer is in?
No.
Iron Fist.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's the brother. Like, so Danny had like, remember he had the daughter, the brother and sister that he grew up with that were like his friends. The brother, that's him.
Oh, that's crazy. So someone's a Marvel Netflix fan there.
Apparently.
I do like that lawyer a lot too. I love him and the judge going back and forth in it. And I like his little like cocky Southern twang bravado that he's got.
Yeah. This is a really, really good cast. I mean, like, from, you know, Don Crowder is the lawyer we're talking about. The lawyer, I mean, the judge coming in is great. Jesse Plemons, we haven't touched on him much, is outstanding. Betty Gore, played by Lily Rabe. I mean, she was
yeah, and again, like you kind of understand it, but like just the way that Elizabeth Olsen goes about it, like she's got a pretty good life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, She's
got it pretty good.
Yeah, it's do you want to do a standalone on this?
I think we could do that. I think we got enough interest about it here. I think I like that.
Yeah, we'll see how the schedule plays out and everything like that. But there's a lot to dig into here. We've talked about doing this before, but it hasn't always worked out as well because, like, cocaine beer, right? There was only so much information out there, but there's a lot out there.
No, there'll be a lot on this. Yeah, I think that'll be awesome. We'll definitely do that. So I think there's two episodes left. One?
I would think you're right. It's six episodes out, so it's probably eight.
Eight episodes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can check real quick.
I think it's Fridays or Thursdays that they release.
It's Thursdays. Yeah, I didn't know that HBO did that.
No, I know. Like I said, I just caught up this weekend, so I was like, oh, I got to wait for them. I didn't know that they did the weekly release thing, but
there you go. So it looks like it might be seven.
Okay.
For Men's Health.
That's the first Men's Health, no.
For real.
Go to training-conditioning.com if you want Men's Health.
Yes, that is it. Oh, geez. Wow, look at that. How are we inadvertently taking shots? But yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that. Like when that wraps, we'll be talking about it on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're planning out our future schedule here, what is going on this week in the DSG?
Well, hashtag Dork must have our phones tapped because they are also talking D&D this week. They're also talking Air, which is the Michael Jordan. Who's the guy from Nike? Is it Phil Knight? Is that right?
Phil Knight. Yeah. Sonny Vaccaro, Phil Knight. Yep.
Yes. But the Ben Affleck movie. Mack and Goo did a fictional fantasy car draft.
Did you listen to that?
I have not yet.
It's a good one. That's a fun episode here. And this was a honorable mention that I would like to nominate. This was not mentioned in theirs, but Nick Fury's tricked out SUV from The Winter Soldier.
Ooh.
That would be one that I would love there because that takes so much damage. And it even has like a cannon in there too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is it a cannon?
All the comms that you got there. It has
a big ass gun. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great call. That is a great call.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't put that in there. Wow.
No, but there's so many that you could choose from. I think they did 10 each, and there's a lot.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, geez. Well, anyways.
I mean, there's like four or five Batmobiles alone.
They drafted all of them?
No, but I'm saying like you could just choose if you wanted to.
I would. Well, it's their draft, so they set their own rules. That's our game. PCP, they're continuing their third protest on podcast, I believe.
Okay.
TLDR, as I mentioned, we are supposed to be doing What's New, although it may look like the thing that we have planned on the side, maybe the only thing we get this week. Certain someone's not feeling his best. Not me. And then I've Heard It Both Ways is supposed to be on season six. At this point, they've already done their season five recap. So if you like Psych, make sure you go check that out there. I think six is the last season of Psych, but I don't know. I didn't watch the show. You didn't either.
No, I'm not a big USA TNT television guy.
Yeah, TNT is good for basketball.
That's about it. Maybe Law and Order reruns.
Ah, yes, very true. As for the streamers, you can find Doc over on Twitch at Backrack of Shime at Shime Time on Twitch, and then the hashtag Dork Boys do their video game playing over on their YouTube page.
Yeah, and next week we got a fun rewatch. Well, it'll be a rewatch for us, but this will be our first time reviewing it. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse in advance of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse coming out in 2 weeks as a crow flies.
Nice.
Very exciting stuff there. And there was, you know, I've been kind of trying to stay away from all the new teasers and like the new kind of extended scenes that they've released for this because they have been going out there, but it's out there. So I'm excited for it. This one kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, as you're saying, as soon as I finished, I'm like, he's going to say the next episode. I'm like, I hope he doesn't say TBD because I don't know what we've talked about. I can't remember. So
No. I think from here on out, we got a couple good ones. We got a bunch in the chamber coming up. So
nice. I like it when we're all scheduled out. But yeah, so until next week then.
Yeah. Same bat time, same bat place as always, baby.